This is Vatican Radio. The Holy See representative to the United Nations in Geneva, Archbishop Silvano Tomasi, has told the Committee on the Convention Against Torture that the Holy See is making every effort to combat the plague and scourge of child sexual abuse. He also reaffirmed the Catholic Church's condemnation of torture, including for those who are tortured and killed before they are born. The Archbishop was speaking in a second day of hearings before the committee, which monitors the application of the UN Convention Against Torture and other cruel, inhumane or degrading treatment among signatory states. During the hearing, the Archbishop clarified the issue of Holy See jurisdiction, provided statistics about cases of clerical sexual abuse reported to the Vatican and the outcome of those cases, and pointed to Pope Francis's establishment of a commission for the protection of children as a further effort to safeguard minors in the Church.
The following legal principles are to be noted. 1. One is presumed innocent until proven guilty. 2. The accused person is entitled to be informed of the charges. 3. The accused person is entitled to notice of the evidence in support of these charges. 4. The accused person has the right to be represented by counsel. 5. One has the right to be tried within a reasonable amount of time. 6. The accused person has the right to full and fair defense. 7. The accused person has the right to a public hearing. 8. The accused person is temporarily detained in cases where he will be remanded to Italy. 9. In many other cases, persons are not detained and alternative measures are adopted, such as fines or orders prohibiting re-entry into Vatican City State. 10. Pre-trial detention has a maximum of 50 days. The period of time may be increased in cases where, quote, investigative stage is particularly difficult. And finally, the defendant has the right to appeal. With regard to the compensation to victims for crimes committed in the territory of Vatican City State, Article 53 of the domestic law applies, and I quote, the goods confiscated following a conviction for any of the offenses set forth in this law may be devoted in whole or in part to compensate the victims or to repair the damage incurred. Number 6. With regard to the function of the newly established Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors. In order to continue the reforms already being enacted during the past 10 years, Pope Francis announced the establishment of this new commission on 5 December 2013. While commenting on this action taken by the Pope, the director of the Holy See Press Office stated that by the institution of this commission, Pope Francis has made it clear that the Church considers the protection of minors as a priority issue. And I quote, in the certainty that the Church must play a crucial role in this field and looking to the future without forgetting the past, the commission will adopt a multiple approach to promoting the protection of minors, which will include education for the prevention of the exploitation of children, legal procedures relating to offenses against minors, civil and canonical duties and responsibilities, and the development of best practices as defined and developed in society as a whole. End of quotation. The Commission held its first meeting on May 1, 2014. At the conclusion of their meeting, Commission members Cardinal Sean O'Malley and Miss Marie Collins, self-identified as a survivor of sexual abuse, reported that their initial discussions focused on the Commission's nature and purpose, and on expanding the membership to include people from other geographical areas and other areas of expertise. The Commission also met with representatives of the Roman Curia to discuss areas for future cooperation, including representatives from the Secretariat of State, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, the Congregation for the Clergy, the Vatican Press Office, and the Vatican Gendarmerie. The Commission members affirm the ongoing commitment to accountability in the Church, including means for effective and transparent protocols and processes. As an advisory committee to the Pope, the Commission plans to propose further initiatives to continue to encourage local responsibility around the world and mutual sharing of best practices for the protection of all minors, including programs for training, education, formation, and responses to abuse. The members communicated their intention to make specific proposals about ways to raise awareness among all people regarding the tragic consequences of sexual abuse and of the devastating consequences of not listening, not reporting suspicion for abuse, and failing to support victims, survivors, and their families. Cardinal Sean O'Malley, in discussing the work of this commission, stated very clearly their determination to and resolve in the defense of children, and I quote, "Our concern is to make sure that there are clear and effective protocols to deal with situations where superiors of the Church have not fulfilled their obligations to protect children. There are canons that could apply here, but obviously they have not been sufficient." Number 7. Other question posed by the delegation, posed to the delegation. First, requests for asylum. There is no direct international border of the Vatican City State except through Italy. Thus, people coming from other countries must first make asylum claims in Italy, and these claims are adjudicated by the government of Italy. B, questions related to concordats. In 1984, modification of the concordat between the Holy See and Italy, there is no reference to any special jurisdiction regarding the clergy. With regard to the concordat between the Holy See and Austria, this concordat was established in 1933. And only can be modified by the request of both states. It should be noted, however, that for the past 5 years, no cleric has requested to be granted consideration under the terms of Article 20 of this concordat. C. Questions related to abortion. The position of the Holy See with regard to abortion is well known. We consider the right to life as a non-negotiable. The Holy See does not consider abortion or abortion services to be a dimension of reproductive health or reproductive health services. At the same time, the Holy See notes that Catholic Church-affiliated medical care, as well as that associated with other major faith traditions, contribute greatly toward the reduction in morbidity and mortality for significant numbers of mothers, newborns, and children throughout the world. But most especially in developing countries among the poorest and most marginalized sector of society. These organizations agree strongly with the need to achieve further reduction in the loss of life and prevention of illness through increased access to affordable interventions that are respectful of the life and dignity of all mothers and children, at all stages of life, from conception to mutual natural to natural death. The Holy See, in agreement with and as directed by the Convention itself, condemns torture, including for those who are tortured and killed before they are born. In Canada, between 2000 and 2011, 622 babies born alive after a failed abortion procedure were left to die. And in 2005, 66 babies were subjected to similar deaths in the United Kingdom. Such cruel methods of late abortion truly constitute torture, especially through the use of dilatations and evacuation techniques, whereby the baby, still alive, is dismembered and then be pulled out of the womb in pieces. Furthermore, the attempt to dictate to the Holy See that it must change its own convictions, laws, and teachings is a direct violation of the freedom of opinion and freedom of belief, which are fundamental human rights. The forms of behavior freely chosen by believers who respect natural law cannot be interpreted as measures that limit the freedom of others. By no means does the Holy See force or impose this code upon any individual. D. The questions about specific case situations, namely Archbishop Joseph Wesolowski and Cardinal Keith O'Brien. Both cases are being investigated by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, and in the case of Archbishop Wesolowski, as a diplomatic agent of the Holy See by the Tribunal of Vatican City State. If the accusations are found to be credible, the cases will be adjudicated in accord with relevant norms. Part 2, questions related to the Catholic Church pastoral mission in the world, but not under the legal authority or competence of Vatican City State. While the Holy See does not have the competency or ability to initiate civil or criminal proceedings against crimes committed in territories outside Vatican City State, it makes every effort to conduct ecclesiastical proceedings against clerics against whom credible accusations of sexual abuse of minors have been presented. This is done without substitution for or prejudice to other processes that are to be applied by the competent judiciary system in the state in which the accused person resides. With regard to clergy, the following process is pursued by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith in cases for which credible accusations have been presented. The applicable law is the Motu Proprio Sacramentorum Sanctitatis Tutela of 30 April 2001, together with the 1983 Code of Canon Law. A. Preliminary procedures. The local diocese investigates every allegation of sexual abuse of a minor by a cleric. If the allegation has a semblance of truth, the case is referred to the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. The local bishop transmits all the necessary information to the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith and expresses his opinion on the procedures to be followed and the measures to be adopted in the short and long term. Civil law concerning reporting of crimes to the appropriate authorities should always be followed. During the preliminary stage and until the case is concluded, the bishop may impose precautionary measures to safeguard the community, including the victims. Indeed, the local bishop always retains power to protect children by restricting the activities of any priest in his diocese. This is part of his ordinary authority, which he is encouraged to exercise to whatever extent is necessary to assure that children do not come to harm, and this power can be exercised at the bishop's discretion before, during, and after any canonical proceedings. B. Procedures authorized by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. The Congregation studies the case presented by the local bishop and also asks for supplementary information where necessary. The Congregation has a number of options. Penal processes. The Congregation may authorize the local bishop to conduct a judicial penal trial before a local church tribunal. Any appeal in such cases would eventually be lodged to the tribunal of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. The Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith may authorize the local bishop to conduct an administrative penal process before a delegate of the local bishop assisted by two assessors. The accused priest is called to respond to the accusations and to review the evidence. The accused has a right to present a recourse to the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith against a decree condemning him to a canonical penalty. The decision of the cardinals, members of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, is final. Should the cleric be judged guilty, both judicial and administrative penal processes can condemn the cleric to a number of canonical penalties, the most serious of which is dismissal from the clerical state. The question of damages can also be treated directly during these procedures. B. Cases referred directly to the Holy Father. In very grave cases where a civil criminal trial has found the cleric guilty of sexual abuse of minors, or where the evidence is overwhelming, the Congregation may choose to take the case directly to the Holy Father with the request that the Pope issue a decree of ex officio dismissal from the clerical state. There is no canonical remedy against such a papal decree. The Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith also brings to the Holy Father a request by accused priests who, cognizant of their crimes, ask for, to be dispensed from the obligation of the priesthood and want to return to the lay state. The Holy Father grants this request for the good of the Church, pro bono ecclesia. 3. Disciplinary measures. In cases where the accused priest has admitted to his crimes and has accepted to live in a life of prayer and penance, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith authorizes the local bishop to issue a decree prohibiting or restricting the public ministry of such a priest. Such decrees are imposed through a penal precept, which would entail a canonical penalty for a violation of the condition of the decree, not excluding dismissal from the clerical state. Administrative recourse to the Congregation is possible against such decrees. The decision of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith is final. Actions taken by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith to date. I would like to refer to some statistics. The number of cases that were referred to the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith between 2004 and 2013, based on credible accusation of sexual abuse by a clergy with a minor under the age of 18 years. Such cases of credible accusation of sexual abuse of minors that were referred to the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith were 730 in 2004, 184 in 2005, 218 in 2006, 216 in 2007, 191 in 2008, 196 in 2009, 464 in 2010, 402 in 2011, 418 in 2012, and 401 in 2013, for a total of 3,420 cases. To be noted is that the cases do not refer to the year when they are reported. Most of these cases, thank you, most of these cases are from 1950, 60, 70, and 80. Then I will give you some other statistics. The number of clerics dismissed from the clerical state directly by the Holy See during the years from 2004-2013. Cleric dismissed from the clerical state directly by the Holy See in 2004 were 89, in 2005, 84, in 2006, 114, in 2007, 84, in 2008, 68, in 2009, 69, in 2010, 84, in 2011, 143, in 2012, 70, and in 2013, 43, for a total of 884 individuals. An overview of other cases resolved by different canonical and disciplinary measures, such as imposition of a life of prayer or penance, application of penal measures, or other disciplinary measures, are the following. In 2004, 641. In 2005, 100. In 2006, 104. In 2007, 132. In 2008, 123. In 2009, 127. In 2010, 380. In 2011, 259. In 2012, 348. And in 2013, 358, for a total of 2,572. So if you put together the number of clerics dismissed from the ministry, 884, and the cases that were adjudicated and 848, I'm sorry, I want to correct the total of the cases dismissed from the ministry. And if you put them all together, you see that out of the total clerics accused, well over 300 have been penalized one way or the other. Part three, questions related to policies and procedures developed and action taken by local church authorities to prevent, investigate, and punish abuse by clerics or other abusers operating within local church structures but occurred outside the territorial competence of Vatican City State. Although the Holy See is not responsible for the implementation of CAT provisions outside the jurisdiction of the Vatican City State, the Holy See takes very seriously its pastoral mission to cooperate with other states' parties in fulfilling their obligations with respect to the Convention. General comment number two, though offering only non-binding guidance of the committee relating to implementation of the CAT, provides a relative insight. Paragraph 15 of the general comment two explains that each state party should prohibit, prevent, and redress torture and ill treatment in all contexts of custody or control. For example, in prisons, hospitals, schools, institutions that engage in the care of children, the aged, the mentally ill or disabled, in military service, and in other institutions, as well as contexts where the failure of the state to intervene encourages and enhances the danger of privately inflicting a harm. Catholic hospitals, schools, orphanages, and other institutions exist in many countries, and its employees and volunteers, both clerical and lay, are subject to the legal jurisdiction of those countries, most of which countries have acceded to the Convention. Where possible, the Holy See through the work of the new Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Children and its cooperation with programs being implemented by national bishop conferences is committed to assisting other states' parties in fulfilling its CAT obligations. In this regard, two examples merit discussion. The first is that of the United States of America. Subsequent to their own internal study of the problem of sexual abuse of minors by Catholic clergy in the United States, both on local diocesan level and the national level, the Catholic bishops of that country contracted with an independent research team from John Jay College in New York to conduct two studies on the causes and context of sexual abuse of minors by Catholic priests during the period 1950-2010. The results of these empirical-based studies were both detailed and comprehensive and offer significant information about the causes and context of the phenomenon of sexual abuse of minors by Catholic priests in the United States between 1950 and 2010. The first study, the Nature and Scope study, focused on the description and extent of the problem from 1950 to 2002 and was published in February 2004. The Nature and Scope study provided information about what happened, including the number of abuse incidents, the distribution of offenses geographically and over time, the characteristics of the priest against whom allegations were made, and the minors that they abused, the Catholic Church's response to all allegations, and the financial impact of the abused incidents. The second study, Causes and Context Study, sought to understand why sexual abuse of minors by Catholic priests occurred, as it did by integrating research from sociocultural, psychological, situational, and organizational perspectives. The research group investigated the sexual abuse of minors by Catholic priests using a combination of empirical approaches, both quantitative and qualitative. This work was necessarily retrospective, with research focusing first on what initiated an increase in abuse incidents in the 1960s, what caused them to reach a peak in the 1970s, and then what led to the sharp and sustained decline in incidents in the 1980s. Organizational, psychological, and situational factors contributed to the vulnerability of individuals or normative change. The Causes and Context report provides data about the historical time period of the problem, the increase in incidents until the late 1970s, and the sharp decline by 1985. Although no specific institutional cause for the increase in incidents was found, factors specific to the Catholic Church contributed to the decline in the mid-1980s. Analysis of the development and influence of seminary education throughout the historical period is consistent with a continued suppression of abuse behavior in the 21st century. The priests who engage in abuse of minors were not found on the base of their developmental histories or their psychological characteristics to be statistically distinguishable from other priests who did not have allegations of sexual abuse against minors. The result of the earlier Nature and Scope study indicated that the total number of priests with allegations from 1950 through 2002 was 4,392 out of a total of 109,604 priests who served in ministry at some point during that time. The number of accused priests was equivalent to 4% of priests in ministry. The number of individual reports of sexual abuse by priests made known to the diocese by early 2003 was around 10,600. And to be noted that these are just accusations, not all of them. In fact, a percentage of between 7 and 17% are proven false accusations. In June 2002, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops established the Charter for the Protection of Children and Young People, which is a comprehensive set of procedures for addressing allegations of sexual abuse of minors by Catholic clergy. The Charter also includes guidelines for reconciliation, healing, accountability, and prevention of further acts of abuse. Any act of sexual abuse of minor which occur prior to the Charter being implemented but is brought forward now will be considered relevant and subject to the Charter. The Charter pertains to acts of abuse in the past, present, and future. The Charter states, and I quote, "For the sake of due process, the accused is to be encouraged to retain the assistance of civil and canonical counsel," end of quote. In June 2003, the office, now Secretariat of Child and Youth Protection, began an audit process of all dioceses and eparchies throughout the United States. The audit is used to determine if the diocese is implementing the practices required by the Charter, and any report of the implementation of the Charter is prepared by the Secretariat of Child and Youth Protection. The 2013 audit report indicated an extremely high participation rates by dioceses. Only 4 of 192 dioceses did not participate in the audit. Also in June 2002, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops established the National Review Board during their meeting in June 2002. The functions of the board were revised slightly and reconfirmed in June 2005 when the Charter for the Protection of Children and Young People was revised and extended through 2010. The purpose of the National Review Board is to collaborate with the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops in preventing the sexual abuse of minors in the United States by persons in service to the Church. The functions of the National Review Board: to advise the Committee for the Protection of Children and Young People on matters of child and youth protection, specifically on policies and practices. Review the work of the Secretariat of Child and Youth Protection and make specific recommendations to its director, assisting the director in the development of resources for dioceses and eparchies. Oversee the completion and dissemination of the study of the causes and context of the recent crisis of sexual abuse in the Church, including periodic assessment of data and preliminary results during the course of this study. Review prior to publication the annual report of the Secretariat of Child and Youth Protection on implementation and maintaining the standards of the Charter and any approval and publication of the Conference President. Advise the Conference President and future members of the Board and future directors of the Office. Advise the Committee for the Protection of Children and Young People and the annual audit process prescribed in the Charter, including methods, scope, and personnel. Alert and inform the appropriate parties of concerns that emerge from the above responsibilities that may run counter to the spirit of the Charter. Consult, and as requested, with the Conference President, the Committee for the Protection of Children and Young People, the Administrative Committee, and other U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops or relevant church entities on matters relating to the protection of children and young people from sexual abuse, make appropriate recommendations to prevent sexual abuse of minors. With regard to compensation, the grand total of the amount paid by dioceses and religious orders for settlement to victims, survivors, between 1950 and the present time was approximately $2.5 billion. The total amount spent on therapy for victims, survivors, was $78 million. Other costs totally approximately $47 million, included payments for items such as investigations of allegations, medical costs or other support for victims, survivors, litigation costs, travel expenses, and emergency assistance for victims of survivors, therapy and other support for their family members, monitoring services for offenders, advertising insurance premiums, diocesan review boards, and compliance audit costs incurred by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. Since 2004, approximately $260 million was spent on efforts to protect children through background checks, safe environment training, and other outreach work. The second example is Australia. Towards Healing is the title of a report. Towards Healing contains the principles and procedures in responding to complaints of abuse against personnel of the Catholic Church in Australia. The National Committee for Professional Standards is a joint committee of the Australian Catholic Bishops' Conference and Catholic Religious Australia. The committee was established to oversee the development of policies, principles, and procedures in responding to church-related abuse complaints. The committee's purpose is to ensure pastoral care for victims of sexual and physical abuse by church personnel. The committee is responsible for developing professional standards among clergy and religious. It regularly sponsors talks and courses. It runs training and in-service initiatives. In recent years, the committee has called on outside experts to review two key documents, Towards Healing and Integrity in Ministry. Towards Healing sets out the principles that must form the basis of the Church's response to complaints of abuse and the procedures to be followed in responding to individual complaints. Integrity in Ministry is a resource for those preparing for ministry in the Catholic Church and is a code of conduct and guide for reflection for those already in ministry. Integrity in the Service of the Church is a resource document of principles and standards for lay workers and volunteers in the Catholic Church in Australia. The document is not a code of behavior, but aims to provide resources which groups of church workers might use in developing their own specific guidelines, documents, and processes. In addition to this committee, there are state directors of professional standards in resource groups to advise and assist in matters concerning church-related abuse. The above two examples represent due diligence taken by ecclesiastical authorities in two countries which confronted serious problems of sexual abuse of minors at national and local levels. With encouragement from the Holy See to promote the principles and requirements of various human rights instruments to which the Holy See has acceded. In conclusion, Regarding individual cases of abuse and other questions which have more relevance under the Convention on the Rights of the Child, the Holy See refers to CAT Committee to the responses given during the review by the Committee on the Rights of the Child, as well as to the forthcoming response to the Holy See, of the Holy See to the concluding observations offered by the Committee of the Convention on the Rights of the Child on 5 February 2014. With the above responses, we have made an effort to be precise and complete with the aim of to strengthen the real service of protection of human dignity intended by the Convention Against Torture. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much for your answers.